Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hello, DC. Welcome to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Ben Standig here with you until 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night. We've got a lot to discuss. Game 6 of the NBA Finals will be happening or tipping off while we are in this show at the 8:30 hour. Of course, I typically cover the Washington Commanders, and I've got some things to talk about with them now that we have wrapped up minicamp and got a little bit of a break here until training camp. What did we learn from minicamp? I'll share some thoughts with you there. We'll talk some NBA draft, and of course, sigh of relief, the Nets finally won a game. I know. Things can happen in the world. Pigs are flying, all those kinds of things. The Nats won a game. James Wood, the big hero, the two homers, including the walk-off game winner. Kudos to the Nats for finally, getting a curly W. It has been a long minute. We'll get to all that and got some great guests as well throughout the show. And helping me today on the board is our guy Ben Strober. Since he's a Ben and a Ben S, I'm going to have to come up with a different way to address him. Maybe it's Young Ben. I don't know. We'll think about it. But
Strober's fine.
All right. We'll go with that. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show. It is. I don't know if it's still raining out. It was some crazy weather as I was getting ready to come over here earlier. I saw some downed trees. The wind was really howling outside of my house.
It calmed down a little bit, but at one point I got here, I was waiting for the Nats game to wrap up. Shout out James Wood. Finally, man, finally. But the wind was blowing so hard, the building was actually starting to shake here a little bit. And I got updates that it was a severe storm, but I did not expect it to be of that magnitude. It got kind of crazy out here.
Yeah, no, it went from, like, I could see it was like going to rain, but then all of a sudden, like you said, it was, my house wasn't necessarily shaking, but it was loud outside. You can always tell when it's extra. My cat Lenny was getting a little questioning. He was like looking at me, going, "What are you doing? What's going on over here? This is abnormal. We don't like this." But okay. Weather happens. It's going to be a hot one. The humidity's out. Who knows what's going on and what combinations led to that? But hopefully, the worst of that is behind us, at least for today. Look, we've got again a lot to get into, and the NBA Finals are going to be tonight. We'll talk more about that later, but I do want to at least touch on the Nets, and Ben was paying attention as he was saying, because Strober was paying attention because of the fact that he was here waiting to work with Linnell on the last show. They had to wait for the Nets game to end. 11 in a row, right? That's what the streak got up to.
Yeah. And I made the point that genuinely it's hard to lose 11 games in a row. In Major League Baseball, you're going to have something go your way at some point. And they got close. Game one of the series, they actually blew it late. Kyle Finnegan gave up his first homer of the season to give up that lead. And eventually they get blown out in game two of that series. They almost came back in the ninth, surprisingly, after being down 8 runs. Yesterday, just a dud. They couldn't hit, which has been really the main problem throughout this hitting streak. They've been unable to hit throughout the game. They haven't got any timely hitting. But how about the timely blast of them all? For James Wood, if there's anyone that you could count on throughout this losing streak, it's been him. He's been the guy that you can count on the entire year. Sixth highest OPS in all of baseball. It's unbelievable that he was ninth in outfield all-star voting in the National League. That's just absurd. I think people are sleeping on him because the Nationals' record is what it is and how bad they've been. But he's a guy that you can just count on. They scored four runs today, which against the Rockies and their pitching staff, it's not very good. You know, whisper that right there. But right. They scored all four runs on two homers from James Wood. So James Wood four, Rockies three. That was actually the call from Dave Jagler there today. So
look, I mean, again, kudos to the Nats. I don't think anybody had realistic expectations that they were going to contend for the postseason or anything along those lines. If they had gotten to 500 or better, you know, okay, that would be a good sign. And I think ultimately when you're a team like the Nats, where they are right now, where whatever they want to call it, rebuilding, or as Dan Quinn said before last year, it's a recalibration type of season for the Commanders. You want to see some progress and growth. And obviously what's frustrating right now is that's not there. This isn't the NBA. One guy crushing it the way James Wood is not great in baseball, where you need a pitching staff. You know, each hitter is kind of, it's not a team sport for the most part when you're at the plate. Maybe you can say that with defense. But baseball, you've got to have crazy depth, and you've got to have a lot of guys up and down the lineup, up and down the rotation. And I know it's not James Wood. You got Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams. But this is a team that is lacking. It's not that it's lacking a talent. I think the issue for me, and I am not a Nats fan per se. I grew up an Orioles fan, but obviously I'm here. I used to cover the Nats to various degrees for several years. But what to me the issue is not the lack of talent. It's the lack of a plan. I don't know what they're doing, and I haven't known what they're doing for a long time. And this is why I was one of those people kvetching when they traded Juan Soto. Now, don't get me wrong. I get that the compensation they got back, the players we just mentioned, Wood and others, has looks pretty good. You know, to get multiple players who look like they could be around for a bit, for as great as Juan Soto is, and I'm not, whatever he's doing with the Mets this year is not the issue. He's obviously been, you know, one of the best hitters in baseball, if not the best hitter in baseball for the past few years. So the issue is, it's not that I mind that they traded Juan Soto. It's that what is the plan that they're doing? When you let Bryce Harper walk, I know that was forever ago, but when you let Bryce Harper walk, and I know they won the World Series the next year, the presumption was, okay, we're letting one potential Hall of Famer leave because we've got another guy right behind him that we'll keep the other guy. Okay. And then they trade Trey Turner, and they let Anthony Rendon go. Okay, I get it. Rendon letting go looks like it was a good move, but you know what I mean? They're going to keep Soto. They're going to build around this guy. And then they said, no, we're not going to do that either. And you're like, well, wait a minute. What are you doing? If you're actually trying to rebuild, and again, the Soto deal in itself was that, be more aggressive in that regard. Being cheap is not the same as being rebuilding. You know, if you don't have young guys, you don't have young guys. Or let me rephrase it. You can have guys who are of age young, but if they're not, if there's no upside there, if there's no potential there, if their ceiling is limited, what are we talking about? And I know there's been like this discrepancy about how many years is this rebuild going on? Like, they're saying it's only a couple of years. Other people would say, well, you let Bryce Harper up and post the World Series, you know, you traded away Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. It kind of started somewhere in there. And that, to me, was the issue with the Soto trade. Again, in isolation, I get what they got back looks pretty good. But, you know, I talked about this on my podcast today with regards to the Commanders and Terry McLaurin. I imagine that deal's going to get done. We can talk about that later. I imagine that deal gets done. But what this provides us, though, is an opportunity to see how the organization is going to handle this situation. This group, how do they look to do it? Do they wait till the very last second? Do they look to get something down quickly? If it gets contentious, why? We get to see this. Okay, we've already seen what the Nats do. They do not keep their young guys. That's just what they have done. They kept Strasburg, and they let everybody else go. Again, maybe for different values, but they let them go. So what's to say that James Wood is going to get re-signed whenever his time comes up? Same thing with C.J. Abrams or anybody else. And until you prove to me you have a plan, I don't buy anything you're going to tell me, which is why I get the frustration for the Nats fans, but to me, it isn't just losing 11 in a row or having another sub 500 season. This is part of the rebuild process. They're going to get the number one pick in the draft next year. Hopefully that helps. And we know that they've got other pieces, Cruz and Dylan Cruz and others, but based on what they have done, I don't trust that there is a plan in place. And that's why, if you said to me, they make big changes, whether that's the front office or the manager or what have you, I would get it. Ultimately, though, it comes down to ownership to a degree. What are they willing to invest in? If they're not willing to invest in keeping these guys financially, the same organization that has still not put naming rights on the stadium, they're not doing the things that teams do if they're actually trying to not just win today, but win long term. And that's why, for me, I'm not going to change my stance. I think the Soto deal was a mistake, not the trade in terms of what they got from the Padres, but that they had no plan once they started getting rid of guys. They should have locked Soto up, been prepared to pay whatever it was going to cost, and go from there. They didn't do these things, and they still don't have a plan after all this time.
I'm going to play devil's advocate just a little bit, and not to say I'm going to say anything nice here about the Nationals organization, because I think top to bottom, there's a lot of failure, a lot of blame to go around. That's why Martinez's comments last week were so puzzling, because everyone in that organization, from ownership to the players, has to look themselves in the mirror and say, this isn't good enough. We're not progressing. But I think the plan that you bring up, maybe a lack thereof, I think their plan for this year was, we've got young talent. That's going to be good enough. We're going to be competitive. And I know the blueprint in the past for the Lerner family was they would kind of bottom out in some years where they knew they wouldn't be competitive. They wouldn't spend a whole lot. But then come 2012 through 2018, they were consistently in the top 10 payrolls in Major League Baseball. Now with the way contracts have kind of been reset, how the market has flipped on its head because of guys getting $700 million deals, I don't know if the Nationals could ever be part of that type of market again with this ownership group. And quite frank, I don't think this ownership group right now is really in it.
Well,
to say the least.
The reality
that's the problem.
COVID messed up this ownership group as much as any, because of the fact that the Lerner's primary assets is office space and property, and all that took a hit.
But that's why I think the team gets sold this offseason, because I'm not going to touch on the finances of the Lerner's, but I think at this point they probably would be interested in selling. It's just the way they do business, though. They do not make the deal unless it's what they want. That is why, like you said, the naming rights of the stadium, they flirted that idea around a decade ago and it never got done, and now it's not getting done again.
Yeah, I mean, they make it sold, but look, they already put them up for sale and then they pulled it back. And again, I don't know what the plan there is either. They may have one, but we don't know what it is. All right, we got more to discuss. We'll get back to the Nats. Here's our plan. We've got a bunch of great guests. 7:30, Scott Abraham from WJLA will join me to talk more about the state of the Nats as well as the Commanders. 8 o'clock, Matt Moore from the Action Network, longtime NBA scribe, will join me to talk NBA Finals Game 6 as well as the NBA Draft. And then at 9 o'clock, my guy, Jeff Zrebeck, my partner or my colleague at The Athletic, who does a great job covering the Ravens, will talk Jair Alexander, Lamar Jackson, and joint practices. So we'll do all that. Stay with us. Ben standing with you till 10 on 106.7 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I was just scrolling at, looking at Twitter in the break there, and NBA Game 6, Thunder at Pacers with the Thunder one win away from winning the NBA title. There was no real question about whether Tyrese Halliburton was going to play or not. What has he got, a calf? Was it calf or a hamstring? He's got had a little bit of an injury, but that slowed him down in the last game. But okay, there was no doubt he was going to play. How much he plays, how effective he is, we'll see. But anyway, Rick Carlisle, Pacers head coach, confirmed that before the game and said, yeah, he went through his test. He did fine. Apparently, he was then asked why he's letting this info out before lineups are announced. And he said, quote, "What's the point?" End quote. Meaning, what's the point of delaying it? Praise Rick Carlisle. I'd build a statue for him right now if every coach in the league would respond to this. It is insane when we all know what is going to happen and these coaches still can't let you know who's going to play. Like, do they really think, I mean, it's Tyrese Halliburton. Do they really think that the Thunder are going to be floored? I mean, he's doing it right. Do coaches think that the Thunder would be floored if Tyrese Halliburton ends up playing and they don't know this until 5 minutes before the game? Of course not. I used to cover the NBA, the Wizards for many years. This would happen all the time. It's absolutely crazy. Coaches are paranoid. I get it. But there are some levels of paranoia that are just preposterous. Not saying whether a guy is going to play when we all know he is. Carlisle didn't say, I don't know if he said he's only going to play 20 minutes. He didn't say, you know, we'll pull him quickly for TJ McConnell if he doesn't look right. He didn't say we're not going to have him guard ever Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because, you know, we don't want to stress him like that. He didn't say we're going to play more zone. He just said he was going to play, which we all knew. So kudos to Rick Carlisle for that. If they had a coach of the, I don't care if they win the, if they lose tonight, lose the finals. If they have coach of the playoffs, I'm giving it to Rick Carlisle just for being real with us. Thank you for Rick Carlisle. He added after the saying, what's the point? Quote, it's time to be decisive and truthful and get down to it. End quote. Preach, preach, preach. All right, I want to get back here to some Nats talk. You know, I was looking while we were again at the break that looking at Major League Baseball payroll for this 2025 season. And we know there's always some teams that are going to be at the bottom, right? The Marlins, the A's, the White Sox have imploded in recent seasons, right? The Pirates are going to be down there. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays, or Rays, sorry, they dropped the Devil Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays are down there. They've been down there for many years, right? But they have such a good minor league system that they're always able to replenish their roster, even if they lose guys in free agency or have to trade guys away. And they are once again contending second place AL East. Another team that's down towards the bottom, the Cleveland Indians, they are second place in the AL Central. The Milwaukee Brewers are also there. The Brewers are 24th in spending, the Indians 25th, and the A's 27th. 23 is the Washington Nationals. And, you know, when I talked before about my issue with what's going on here, it doesn't seem like they have a plan. Sure, it would be easier to say they have a plan if they were hitting on draft picks, their own draft picks, not necessarily prospects they got from other teams. Largely, that has not been the case. I know they've got, you know, they just had Brady House come up. We'll see where that goes. Obviously, a very promising young player. Again, Dylan Cruz is going to be back here soon. Another guy who's young and promising. But the fact that they have missed on so many of their own draft picks is partly why their floor is feeling a lot lower than it should be. And frankly, so is the ceiling. But also, like, yes, they're spending more than these other teams. I guess I'll throw this to you, Strober. You, because you pay attention more to the Nats than me. I don't know where the spending really even goes. I mean, when you talk about having a plan, you don't have to just sort of be like, if you're not going to have the farm system the way that the Rays do, okay, we'll find other ways then to be, I'm not saying contend, but be presentable. Help your young guys. It's not just about going out there and looking at major league pitching or throwing the batters. It's learning what it means to be in some kind of, again, maybe not contention, but be in pressure games, be in games where, hey, we can stay with these guys. Baseball's a weird sport. The mm-hmm. worst team could win. If you put the worst team against the best team in the World Series, the worst team could absolutely win. It's just the nature of that thing. But the, you know, there is something to be said for the culture building. The Commanders are going through that. The Wizards are going through that, et cetera. And I just, you know, when I say about a plan, I just don't know what they're doing. They don't have, their draft picks are not there. They are not yet, at least. They didn't spend on vets that are remote, you know, standouts. That's mm-hmm. where I talk about not having a plan, and yet there are teams who spend less than them who are far better.
You got to be tapped into analytics if you're going to operate like a small market team, like the way the Tampa Bay Rays do, which you right. touched on, way the Athletics did in the past. I mean, what's happening with the Athletics right now is just a travesty. shout out to the people of Oakland. They support the team down there, and I feel
Moneyball
really...
is such a good. I know the movie is not, mm-hmm. you know, the movie does not mention that Miguel Tejada and all their top pitchers, but it's a great movie. Let me love the movie.
Let's make comparison right here to the Washington Commanders. In the first offseason, where they go in this recalibration period that Dan Quinn told the media, they bring in veterans, of course. They signed 23 free agents that offseason. And obviously, football is very different than baseball, but a guy that you bring in is Bobby Wagner. And not because they expected him maybe to be an All-Pro, maybe they did, but Bobby Wagner certainly still could play. He was second in the NFL in tackles, I believe, when they brought him in. So they definitely expected him to play and be serviceable, but they also brought him in because that is an A-list veteran player that is going to teach you how to win in the National Football League, has championship pedigree. The Nationals this offseason, they didn't bring in anything like that. They brought in a bunch of B/C, F-list veterans. I mean, a couple of the pitchers they brought in are not even with the organization anymore because that's how bad they were. And then your bats, Nathaniel Lowe, yeah, decent pickup at the trade deadline, but the reliever they gave up in that process has turned out to be one of the better ones in Major League Baseball, the lefty Robert Garcia Jr. And then Nathaniel Lowe has really tailed off as well. Another key free agent you brought in is basically unplayable in the lineup, but he still does play every day, in Josh Bell. And that stuff kind of matters because you're putting these young guys essentially into a fire. Like Brady House, have to know what's going through his head because you're making your Major League debut as the organization is maybe at the lowest point it's been in the past decade or so. And you're kind of being called up as not way to draw attention away from you, but to try to give the team a spark. But you're just in a situation where you're around so many young players who are losing and they can't get out of it because they don't really know how to. And I just don't think that's good long term for building these players up. And that's the only thing the Nationals can hope for is that they develop who they have.
100%. You know what? Not every sport can operate the same way, so this may not be apples to apples, so apologies. But in general, I think this is an interesting way to have looked at this. Go back and look what the Wizards did last offseason. You know, they're obviously rebuilding. They were not trying to win. They were doing their best to get Cooper Flagg or, you know, as high of a pick as they possibly could, and, you know, that's a whole other story that they finished sixth. But one thing they did was they went out and signed center Jonas Valanciunas to a three-year contract. I think it was like $10 million a year. Valanciunas is a guy who has been a very solid player in this league in his younger days, was a guy that was a viable starter for teams that were trying to, you know, contend in the postseason, but he's still a good player. Maybe he's not a center for a title team, but a guy that you could, as a backup, at least give you good minutes. They did it for a single reason. Well, two reasons. One, it was to help their young first-round pick last year, Alex Sarr, as an inside presence. Valanciunas is a more powerful player. Sarr is more of a mobile big. So they give him there to be a little bit of a bodyguard, things like that. But the other point was he helps them until the trade deadline, and then they move him to get other stuff. The Nats are not trading Josh Bell. I mean, you never know. Baseball's weird. Relief pitchers can kind of come out of nowhere. But you could go out and sign a guy, and then with the plan of saying, hey, here's the deal. We're going to sign you. But if there's an opportunity, you know, before, you know, July 1 or August 1 to move you, that can help us because maybe we'll get some prospects out of it. But in the interim, you help give our guys some structure. You help show them the ropes. And I know other vets can help the basics, but like you said, you need more than what they did. And also, hey, if he comes in and does well, who says you have to trade him? The Wizards, like in baseball, right, you can't have the number one pick in the draft 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they were going to get that anyway. Whereas like the Wizards, sure, you could, as we see sometimes. So that's just another way to go that they didn't do.
Well, they had done it.
What the plan is.
They had done that, exactly what you brought up, where you bring in veterans to be a presence in the locker room, or the clubhouse, rather, and he might win you some ball games early on, then he gets dealt at the trade deadline. They were actually pretty good about doing that at one point. 2022, they did it with Jamer Candelaria, who actually turned out to be terrible after they moved him, and they picked up a couple of key prospects at that point. DJ Herz was one of the prospects they got, and who is unfortunately out getting Tommy John surgery this offseason. But last year, they did the same exact thing with Jesse Winker at the deadline. This year, the guys they brought in have just failed miserably. And I don't know if it's because Mike Rizzo had higher expectations for the team this year, so he wanted to bring in more veterans on two-year deals as opposed to one-year deals because he had more of a hope that these guys were going to stick around and were going to help them contend, but it has failed miserably.
It has. And look, you got to get lucky with some of these things. We see it all the time. You mentioned the Commanders and all these one-year deals. Almost every single one worked out, like either to some degree or to a large degree. That's not normal. It did break their way. The Nats, it hasn't been. And look, it's the 11-game losing streak that has really, you know, exasperated fans. Then you mentioned Davey Martinez's comment the other day about it's whatever's happening, it's not on the coaching. And, you know, losing sucks, but there's nothing to it. At least today, though, the sun has come out for the Nats. They win in 11 innings. James Wood, the one shining spot for them, two home runs, gets the game winner. All right, we've got Scott Abraham, another winner, is going to join us next. The Commanders are done minicamp. What have we learned? We'll talk about that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Ben Standig here with you until 10 o'clock on this Thursday evening. I cover the Commanders as my primary gig, and one of the guys who is out there with me all the time is our guest here, Scott Abraham from WJLA, who I had the pleasure of talking to earlier today for something he'll air on his network in the coming days. Scott, I believe the first question you asked me today was, mini camp's now over. What did we learn? Okay, yeah. I'm going to throw it back to you. Mini camp is over. What did we learn about the Washington Commanders?
Well, first thing I want to tell you, Ben, is I appreciate your position flex in the media space. You got your newspaper writer, did the TV thing with me and the radio, so job well done to you. In terms of, you know, just figuring out what we've learned with the Commanders, I mean, honestly, you know, I'm going to steal your line right back at you. I don't think we're going to really learn much until, you know, the games really matter in week one and then when the season kicks off. But, you know, it was great to see, you know, like the Deebo Samuel wearing the burgundy and gold, seeing how he looks and operates, and getting our first sneak peek at Laremy Tunsil and, you know, Trey Amos. You know, he looks the part. I'm excited about him as the cornerback for the Commanders, and of course, Josh Connerly Jr., the beefed up offensive line, beefed up defensive line with Kinlaw, getting your first sights on Jaden Daniels. So, see back in Ashburn and on the mentality and how they still have a hunger, how they still have a drive, and they want to make sure last year was not per se a one hit wonder, and they feel like they still have something to prove. And Dan Quinn, you know, early on with the messaging, and the players early on with the messaging, where they haven't arrived yet and they still feel like they have much, much more to go. So that was very refreshing to see from a team that was one win away from the Super Bowl last year.
Absolutely. I do think one thing that you can learn at least a little bit, again, something we talked about, was you just talked about, like, the hunger that they still seem to have to contend. It doesn't feel like it's lip service. It feels like it's real. This is only year two of this recalibration under Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. A lot of these guys are on 1 year contracts, and, you know, they got close to the Super Bowl last year, but it didn't quite get over the top. But I think the other part of this is you can learn a lot about who these people are, the vibe of the team. They were very positive last year. I feel like that's continuing. Did you meet any of the new guys, rookies or vets, that you think this, wow, this guy's personality, his attitude really kind of looks like it's going to be a really good fit for what?
You know, I had a chance to talk a little bit with Connerly, and, you know, you could tell he has a good head on his shoulders, and he's understands that he can learn a lot from, like, a Tunsil, from, like, an Andrew Wiley, everybody on the line and everybody that has experience in the NFL. So many physically gifted traits and talents about him, but he has to learn how to be a pro. And he's, you know, not above the fact that he has a lot to learn to be a pro and be a successful NFL player. So, again, he's saying all the right things in the right mindset. And we talk about Dan Quinn in the messaging, but, you know, we talk to guys like Zach Gertz. We talk to guys like Bobby Wagner. They could very easily hang up the cleats, hang up the helmet, go off into the sunset. They've had unbelievable resumes and Super Bowl wins on their resumes, but they love it in Washington and the culture, and they're part of the reason why they're hungry, and it comes from the top down. So obviously ownership, Dan Quinn, and it trickles into the locker room, and that's why you have those key leaders of, hey, they've climbed the mountaintop before. They know how good this team is, how good this team can be to take that one more step to get to the Super Bowl. And that's a big reason why Ertz and Wagner came back, because they're not going to come back if they think they're going to be a 5 or 6 win team or a 7 win team or a fringe playoff team. They truly believe they have the pieces in place that they can win a Super Bowl, and that's why they're back.
We're talking with sports director and anchor Scott Abraham from WJLA. Of course, the biggest reason for optimism with this team, this isn't complicated. The quarterback is really, really good. He's only going into his second year. It's almost hard to look at Jaden Daniels and ask, what does he need to work on? But, you know, for a lot of guys who had the rookie year that he did, it would be easy for them to come in, big head. Maybe they slacked off. They hung out on their couch too much. They binge-watched, too many shows, whatever it is. He didn't do any of that. It doesn't seem like he was football mode all off season for the most part. Has anything stood out to you about Jaden Daniels, even if it's nothing, coming in to this second season?
That's the thing. It was a near perfect rookie season. It'd be so nitpicky on all of us to say he has to work on this. He has to get better at this. I mean, finally, this franchise, this region, they got a quarterback, and they have a quarterback for many years to come. And it's just so, I'm so happy for the fan base, because they've gone through so much, so many different quarterbacks. And Jaden is just a gift. I mean, he is a gift to the franchise, a gift to the region. And I say it all the time. I love how Jaden carries himself. He is such a good young man, like truly a good young man. And clearly what he does on the football field stands out above everything else, but how he carries himself, how he interacts with his teammates, like a Mike Sanders still in the locker room. And he's just a young dude that loves football, and he lives and breathes football. He's not a big going out guy, as he talked about previously to us in many of his press conferences. And he's just going to continue to evolve and get better. He got stronger in the off season. And he's just, we just have to worry about injuries, right? You never know when those can happen. And he was pretty much injury-free his rookie year, and just got to continue to be smart when he tucks the ball and decides to run. Be smart, get down, get out of bounds, those type of situations. But from a, nitpicky what he has to work on, dude, just duplicate what you did in the rookie year, and Washington's going to be just fine.
You know, Scott, maybe pessimist is too strong, but I'm like a glass half empty guy by nature, at least in the sense that I'm going to question something until there's no reason to question it. And most things in life, as we know, that doesn't happen. There's always reason to question a lot of things. That's so much the nature of what I'm doing right this second, talking on sports radio. So wondering, well, what about this? What about that? I just can't see a world where Jaden Daniels, though, disappoints me this year. The team might have a worse record and be better. I just can't see a world where Jaden Daniels is not as good as he was last year and maybe better. I'm going to be stunned if that happens.
Yeah, they won so many games, at the last second,
right?
The final drive, the final gun. You got to believe, it's just natural, maybe some regression, or maybe Lady Luck not on their side in certain situations maybe this year, because everything fell into place for them last year. I mean, literally every single game, every single last second went Washington's way. So maybe some regression in that way. Maybe that clutch gene doesn't show up as much in year number two, but just from the physical traits and being a face of the franchise, being a young face of the NFL, the marketability of Jaden Daniels, the number of primetime games. I mean, get ready, Commanders fans. This is just scratching the surface, because as our buddy Sam Fortier said on his video last night, this franchise is a rocket ship, and it's exciting times, certainly with number 5 under center.
Scott, I got about 30 seconds left. I've touched on all the main teams in town so far tonight, except the Caps. You are Mr. Hockey. You know a lot about hockey. The Stanley Cup is out. Playoffs are over. The Florida Panthers won. How far away do you think the Caps are realistic from being a team that, whether it's Florida or somebody else, that can actually contend at that top level?
Boy, I mean, if you watch the Florida Panthers, they're so deep. They roll four lines, and they're just physical on all four lines, and they have dudes on every single line. I don't think the Capitals have that depth, but certainly they're going to have some extra cap space, extra money. Obviously everybody's going to be talking about Alex Ovechkin's final year of his contract, life after Ovi. I think they got some really good foundational pieces in a Tom Wilson, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Connor McMichael, those type of guys. What can they do with free agency on July 1st? They have a heck of a coach, Ben. I love Spencer Carberry, coach of the year of the NHL. He has been a gift to the franchise. He's a perfect fit for Washington. I think they're going to be set up for many years to come of being consistent, but can they get to Florida's level? It may take a year or two once Ovi kind of hangs up the skates here in Washington, I think.
All right. Well, Scott covers all these teams on WJLA, of course. Go follow him there. He's also bringing the good looks and the polo shirts. That's what Scott Abraham.
That's right. I always bring the polos. Never disappoint. But I don't have your position flex quite yet. So I'm working on that. So keep up the good work, Benny.
You got a strong position. You're doing good. Scott, I appreciate it. Scott Abraham, he is at Scott7News on Twitter. And again, you can watch Scott on WJLA. We've got more to come. Ben Standing with you till 10 here on 106.7 The Fan. Strober has us coming in with a little Bruno Mars action here on 106.7 The Fan. I can live with some Bruno Mars at times for sure. We just talked with Scott Abraham from WJLA about the Nats and the Commanders. The game 6 of the NBA Finals is tonight at 8:30. We're going to talk with Matt Moore from the Action Network about that, about the game. But just to touch on this a little bit, look, the Thunder have a 3-2 lead. They are so impressive in certain ways. Defensively, wow. I mean, they come at you with waves. It looks like the Pacers never have a free moment. If the Pacers get like an open shot, it feels like a miracle. And they're doing this as the youngest team in the league. They've got the MVP and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, they're the guy that is, you know, their second or third best player, depending how you want to look at it. What did Jamal go for? 40 points in the last game. And, you know, Chet Holmgren is, you know, he's got to put on a little more weight. We all get that. But, you know, he's flexible. He's got a lot. You can block shots. But they've got a lot going on. And yet I still feel like the Pacers, like this is going to sound stupid, even if the Thunder win tonight or they win in 7, I feel like the Pacers have already covered the spread in terms of the expectations. I was still stunned that when this started, the amount of people who thought this was a walkover for the Thunder. And to me, the reason why I didn't see that was, one, the Pacers are one of the rare teams in the league that has almost as much depth as the Thunder. They also have a lot of, you know, switchable guards and wings that can get and defend SGA and some of the other guys. And you know, they're just tenacious and tough. And the way they've come back in all these games, including game 1 of this series, is just been preposterous. You know, they came back in the last game from down double figures to get within 2 points. They almost came back too quickly, though. They did it with like 8 minutes to go instead of 2 minutes to go, and the Thunder subsequently blew them out. I'm really hoping that the Pacers get this done tonight because of the fact that, well, one, we'd get a game 7, so that would be a good time. But two, I kind of want to see the Pacers get this done. If Tyrese Halliburton, though, is not anywhere close to 100%, he definitely wasn't last game, boy, it's going to be tough. I mean, you can't rely on TJ McConnell to come in and save you as he almost did the last game. So they're going to need a big game from Halliburton. Siakam had a good game last time. Is he going to do that again? I'm going to go with the Pacers tonight, but it is, I think it'll be close. I just don't see the Thunder running away, but I'm hoping the Pacers get this done.
Yeah, and I think all of the noise surrounding the Pacers getting dog-walked by Oklahoma City pre-series, I thought it was just absolute blasphemy, because Indiana proved that the way they win basketball games isn't a fluke. Teams that come back late in games like that, rally late, and make your opponent so uncomfortable in the final minutes, it's not fluke if it keeps on happening like it did this postseason. It's truly ridiculous, the run that it's been on. One thing I wanted to point out too, How could you count out this team after they destroyed the one seed in the East? They made Cleveland look genuinely awful, look like they didn't belong as the one seed in the Eastern Conference. And there's just so much depth on this Indiana team, as you've touched on. A couple of games, and even this series, Benedict Mathurin goes off for 27 in an NBA Finals game. TJ McConnell, who's been the spark plug. Every game between OKC and Indiana, there is one guy off the bench for both teams that just goes off completely and completely takes over the game. Oklahoma City, we saw it in game two of the series where they had, I believe, four guys off the bench score 15 or more points, including Aaron Wiggins, who had 20 in that game, Alex Caruso, 20 as well. So it just goes to show you bench play is so important in the postseason. That's why both these teams have matched up as well as they have, because for every great starter they have, I think Oklahoma City obviously has the better starting lineup. They have the MVP. Jalen Williams looks like he may be a potential MVP in the future the way he's played in these NBA Finals. But they're able to supplement it so well with the depth they have off the bench. And Indiana's been able to keep up as a result because of the bench play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And another reason why I was like questioning the Thunder, and I'm not questioning it. Like, they're clearly incredibly talented. The way they go after defense is, again, pretty remarkable. It's just that because they are the youngest team in the league, by definition, they're going to lack experience. And, you know, other than like Alex Caruso, unless I'm missing somebody, they don't really have anybody who's played in, you know, I don't think they had anybody who's played in the finals of their main players or been, you know, this deep into the postseason. And sometimes that alone can burn you. And look, when the Pacers are up 2-1 and had a pretty good lead in the second half of game four, it looked like that was going to come to fruition, that they were going to, the Thunder might lose this thing almost simply based on the fact that they just have not been there before. They've been able to overcome that to this point. Again, now they're one win away from the finals, so it may not matter. What's scary long-term is that whatever happens here, they will now have finals experience. They will now have gone through this, and all these guys can now rely on this experience going forward, whether they win or they lose. And with all the assets they have, you know, they can do so many different things when it comes to trades. You know, they have to be careful of like taking on money because all these younger guys are going to have to get paid soon enough. But they are in such a great position. But, you know, with Indiana, again, I think you just, their grit, their resolve, everything they have is super impressive as well. You know, you could tell me that they are the team to beat next year in the East, maybe not in an overwhelming way. You still have the Cavaliers. We'll see what the Celtics do with Tatum's injury and others, but the Pacers are super impressive. I think Strober tells me we've got a call though on the line here. Tell me who we got, Ben. Who was it? Sorry.
Mitch, New Jersey.
All right, Mitch, New Jersey. What do you got?
Gee, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick. I love to see Indiana just pull the seven. Man, that's what they want. But they have a pretty good bench, like you said. But I think they should play the best five healthy players, and I think they should get Ben Mathurin has to play some point guard. Share the ball with Mathurin, but it should be an exciting game. It's unfortunate that injury has to curtail Indiana's hopes, because this is probably the closest they'll ever get, I think, to a championship. Because the West is getting better, the East. But these are the two teams, I'll let you go, that made one trade. Well, actually, Indiana's made some three good trades, but Thunder had an SGA, and that was that trade's really paying off.
Yeah, no, it is bizarre that both of these teams, the core of their teams is based on trading away Paul George. Both of them did that. The Thunder, of course, get SGA and 1,000 draft picks. The Pacers get, among other players, Sabonis, who they then trade to Sacramento to get Tyrese Halliburton. So it's wild how that works. The Thunder are going to be good to go for a while. The Pacers, like I said, their margin for error is a little bit less. They actually made a trade in these finals. They traded away their 2025 first-round pick to get a 2026 first-round pick. And I think the reason they did it is dump some salary for this offseason to then keep Miles Turner or try to keep their core together and make another run at it next year. They are still themselves a young team with a lot to look forward to for sure. All right, we have got more to discuss. The NBA Finals, we just talked about it. We've got more to discuss. We'll do that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.